Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We've played every mission of the mainline Halo video games, and now we're playing every mission from the rest of the games in the franchise in chronological order. Each episode, we'll be discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the Lights Out mission from Halo Wars 2 on the next episode. If you like what you hear and want to support the show, visit Podcast Evolved on Patreon. You can also receive a free audiobook trial by visiting audibletrial.com/podcastevolved. This episode, we're debriefing the Cartographer mission from Halo Wars 2. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
These Sentinels can suck my dick. If I had one.
Caveat. Last mission was 130. Alice successfully escaped the ambush near the Henry Lamb Research Outpost and then located a number of Marine squads that had been captured by the Banished. With her trusty heavy machine gun and a knack for hijacking vehicles, she rescued her UNSC brothers and sisters and contacted the Spirit of Fire for extraction. Now, in the Cartographer, Professor Anders leads the UNSC troops into the Cartographer, but the Banished have blocked the way to the map room. A series of power conduits must be destroyed in order to gain access, but Atriox's forces and swarms of Sentinels stand guard. Cutter approves the deployment of Wolverines and a Mac Blast EMP from the Spirit of Fire to help counter the aerial opposition. Date of the game is March 29th, 2559. Somehow going up the elevator took a day, or maybe like they went up at 11:59. This is bright and early the next morning.
Wow.
But we have finally gotten into a new day. So welcome to the tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
We've made it.
Wow. Doesn't that mean it's today?
Wait a minute. You're right. David, why don't you take us through this mission briefing? What happens at the start of this thing?
Sure. It's pretty nice and short. Captain Cutter comes on and says, Professor, once you're inside the Cartographer, I need you to find out what Atriox is planning and using it for. Anders says, understood, Captain. Isabel gave me everything the UNSC already knows about the area, and it looks like we'll need to reach the map room. I've also been running scans as we got closer, and there seem to be large power signatures from the central chamber nearby. It's unclear whether it's Banished or Forerunner in origin. Isabel then chimes in. She says, be careful, Professor. There will be a strong Banished presence, and from what we've seen, the Sentinel defenses, you may have to deal with them too. Anders then chimes in. I'll let Jerome handle the former. As for the Sentinels, remember that special project we were talking about earlier? I think it might be time for a test run. Isabel goes, not quite ready, but we'll give it a shot. Good luck down there. So that's a little bit of a tease. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. The mission pretty much kicks off pretty swiftly.
Let me bump into the mission summary and all that other stuff.
Sure.
Before you drive into that kind of opening cut. Isabel's obviously, well, now we know, but she's talking about that EMP blast I mentioned earlier.
Ooh.
So the mission summary, we need to protect Anders from Forerunner defenses to protect the Cartographer's map room. And then the scouting report is just talks about Wolverines and how they're anti-air vehicles. The objectives are gain access to the Cartographer map room, attack the Forerunner conduit, shut down the three power conduits, and then clear the path to the map room. Only one optional objective this time, which is destroy both mini bases in the central chamber. There's the bonus objective, which is kill 30 enemies using Wolverine. So I feel like this is the fewest amount of objectives that we've had, which is good. Part time is 30 minutes, although the strategy guide, it's always off. I just feel like I need to comment. It says 36 minutes. Scoring goals, gold is 65,000, silver is 25 to 64, and bronze is 9 to 24. Which it seems low compared to the last mission. I think the last mission was a lot higher, and it was just Alice and her crew. So the skull on this one, banished northern. Oh yeah, so if those are tied to the optional objectives. So the banished northern mini base is destroyed. Once you do that, then you unlock Emperor, the skull Emperor, and that one means all player powers recharge in half the time. And your final score is decreased. So another good one if you want to attack legendary. Krista, what's on the battlefield this time?
A lot of things. We have Jerome, 092. Alice is off murdering people, and Douglas is still dead. Anders is an NPC during the mission, but you can't really do anything with her. She runs, like, straight into a facility and says, bye.
Right.
We have a fire base. It starts with the command center with 7 structure slots. We have Marines, which are great. You can upgrade them with grenade throw. We have the supply pad, we have the generator, and we have barracks, which have Hellbringers and Cyclopses. We also have the garage that has Warthogs and Wolverines.
Wolverines, we get them back.
And then we have the armory that has advanced logistics, which speeds up troop production and reinforcements, plus 20 to troop population, and that's all we get. I could have used more.
Amount, but no. Yeah.
No, I needed more.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It does feel limiting, especially when you get to that center section, which we'll talk about.
You notice it real fast.
Yeah. You kind of notice your limitations, because there's not... None of the units in this are, like, the end-all, be-all. Like, because Hornets, you like, all right, cool, Hornets. I can do pretty much anything with Hornets. All right, cool, Tanks. I can do pretty much anything with Tanks. There's not really one of those, like, units that's going to carry your team in this one.
Right. And, like, Hellbringers are dead to me.
They die so freaking fast. And then the Cyclopses aren't very good either, because there's not there's not a lot of vehicles in this mission, though, so.
Yeah, right. So but there's a lot of hunters.
Yeah, there's a lot of hunters, so the Hellbringers help there, but not much. So it's kind of tough deciding which troop to kind of invest yourself into in this mission, especially on Heroic. So, we have Spirit of Fire abilities, though, that help a little bit. We have Restoration Drones that you can upgrade. We have Archer Missiles, Battle Hardened 1, Lotus Mines, which you can upgrade. Don't do it. It's not worth it. And then the Mac Blast EMP, which is just...
Yay.
It's kind of just the... It's just for the gameplay of this mission. It's just to get things done. It's the objective-based one.
Yep. It doesn't even recharge. It's just available when you need it.
Yeah. It still costs resources, though.
Oh, it does. I guess I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yeah. I never had a problem summoning it, but it does cost resources. All right. So we also have Banished, because we need something to fight, right?
Besides those stupid sentinels.
Yeah, those come in later, and they're floaty, and they just murder your stuff, and it makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really effective on vehicles, so if you use the Wolverines, they just get yeeted. So it's not fun.
Right.
Anyway, we have no Heroic units. We have some ground units, Groots. Oh my god. Brutes and Grunts. Brutes. Jump Pack Brutes, Elites, and Hunters. We have Ghosts and Wraiths for vehicles, and we have Spirit Dropships, Banshees, and Engineers for air units. And there are a lot of Banshees. They love their Banshees.
Yep. First time seeing Banshees, or at least fighting against them, I believe.
Oh, really? Oh. And also, if you're playing on Heroic, there are leader powers for the enemy, and they use them all the time, like, constantly. Like, every 3 minutes, they're using both of these. The first one is a glassing beam, which is a huge plasma beam that just fucks up all your units, and they just kind of, like, move it around the screen and hit everyone and murder everyone. That's really fun. And then also they have vortex lightning, which stuns enemies, lowers their defense, and murders them too, and they just, you know, move it around the screen too, so...
That one's rough. I played a little on Heroic, and that was hard.
God, it's constant. One. It's like clockwork. Like, every 3 minutes or so, he does it. And it's like, right. One after the other, it's like, all right,
yeah.
How you fucking me today, bro? It's like, right. Jesus.
It's back to back. Yeah, it's just rough.
It's real rough. It really sucks. It's almost more of a nuisance than it being, like, actually making the game more difficult. It's just like, oh, I just gotta wait another minute to get those units back. It's just delaying you from doing what you want to do. So that's fun. Also, we think they might have Battle Hardened as well, because on my playthrough I saw a bunch of units that had the numbers above their head.
Mm-hmm.
And the word the word for it is unpronounceable. You can't pronounce it. It's impossible. So
veterancy.
No. That's impossible. and that's about it. That's what we have.
Cool. Difficulty. I think I'm just going to stop talking about the actions per minute. So again, it just gets harder the higher you go up. But it's not like there's no buffs, specific buffs. So the AI will use his leader powers to the best of. Well, why is the AI a he? The AI. What is it? It. The it
the
will
thing.
Use. Yeah, the thing will do better at the game. All right, David, why don't you talk us through the little gameplay cut that we have at the very beginning?
Yeah, so it's pretty short. It just shows some troops, Anders and Jerome, coming up through the elevator and immediately start moving forward. They realize they're on like a forwarder platform. And they move a little bit forward, and then pretty much a base starts getting built for them on top of the thing when they realize that they've been blocked. And I thought that was weird, because, like, you know, it just kind of shows up on top of this platform. And then, like, do you know when you build things, it opens up, and stuff comes from under. We're like, where is it coming from? I don't get it. Anyway. they just start building a base on top of this thing, and they pretty much have a comment saying, bro, we're going to be here a while, because there's some banished presence here. I think it's not really very clear, but... Anders is not a playable character, so she's like gone as soon as the game kicks in, and you get a thing from Cutter saying like, oh, we have some Wolverines in case you need them, and then like instantly you're getting hit by Banshees, and Jerome was like, yeah, we need those Wolverines. So they get like airlifted in pretty immediately as soon as the mission kind of starts, and it kind of kicks off. Then you've got some troops, and you've got some Wolverines, and you got Jerome, and away you go.
Yeah. So you start building up your base like we always do. You know, we'll go around the horn and kind of talk about that. It's interesting when you go up that elevator at the very beginning, you're like in the clouds, and you do see a little bit of like a little, I don't know, a mountainous region. So it's hard to get a really good bearings as to where we're at, but like we're way up above. And I agree, I thought it was weird that like we had to unlock this elevator so that like we could send a couple troops up there, but then somehow we're already building a base up there, which is a little awkward, but, you know, I get it. They needed to give us a base to start with or whatever. We needed to get some, you know, our units up there. So, yeah, Krista, why don't you walk us through the very beginning part here and, you know, talk us through kind of how you attacked it.
So, are we talking about the initial conduit?
Just the initial stuff,
yeah. So you spawn in, you have your base. Something that's really nice here is that the game doesn't really actually start until you attack this first conduit. So this is a great time to, if you're playing on higher difficulties, to take some time, upgrade everything. Upgrading the different, you know, bases like the barracks and stuff like that actually does really significantly make a difference. In how your units
your
are.
Upgrades to your units. Yeah. Like the 10% or 20% stuff that you get. Yeah.
It's a significant upgrade. So be sure to do that if you're just trying to turtle for a little bit and get everyone up to snuff. And then,
did you turtle like a full 80 units, or did you just build up a little bit?
I build up a little bit. I kind of just ran to this part. When I really started turtling is when I went for the main base later on in this mission.
Yeah.
But this is the time where it's a little better to do it, because when you're doing the main base, of course, the leader powers are going off and banshees are attacking you and stuff like that. This is the one section where nothing's really going to harm you, so you can kind of just sit around and let stuff accumulate, which is really fun. Just leave it running for 20 minutes.
If you're good at multitasking, you know, as you're sending your units over to this first conduit, and again, it's to the left, but I think it's actually south on the map, but... You if you're good at multitasking, you can attack this conduit and wall, you know, you're doing the EMP blast and all, and learning about that mechanic, you can be, you know, building up your base and building up a pretty good force so that you're ready to go when this is all done here.
Definitely. So, you do that if you want to. If you're playing on normal, there's literally no reason to turtle in this mission at all.
Yeah.
Anything higher than that, do some turtling. So... we walk up to this conduit thing, and Anders is like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just blow it up. Like, okay, I guess we're blowing it up. And so you start...
But she seems sad about it.
Yeah, she's like, this isn't something I'd normally do, but maybe we should just blow it up for the sake of convenience. And so we start blowing it up, and then a huge swarm of sentinels kind of make almost a barrier around it, and any units inside this barrier of sentinels will get damaged and die. It's really fun to trap enemy units in this barrier, because you get to watch them die. It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's real cool.
I like that.
So, yeah, and then Andrews is like, all right, we have this magical EMP blast out of nowhere. And they're like, use that. And so you go back to it. Once the EMP blast hits, the sentinels disperse, and then you can destroy the conduit, basically. And then the shield opens, Anders, like, runs away to a building, and then she says, all right, there's three more, go get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she just sprints for it. She just goes.
Yeah, she's then... just like, you know what? There are, like, banshees and brutes, but you know what? I'm just gonna run for it. I'll die in one hit, but whatever.
She's got her two little drones that are following around. She makes a comment about how the brutes smell like shit.
Basically, yeah. She's like, oh, man, it's stinky up in here.
Right. Yeah, the what do you guys think of the structure up here? So this is the cartographer.
Yeah.
Like, this whole area. And we'll talk about the map room at the very end. But I guess I felt like the cartographer, what we're used to in other Halos, it's more of a room, right? Like, it's more of an enclosed thing.
Yeah, also... Whereas
this is open air.
Usually a cartographer and a map room shouldn't really be right next to each other. Huh? Usually...
Sure.
That's a surprise, Chris.
Yeah.
It's right here.
Oh, wow. They'll never think to look.
Right.
It'll be super hidden.
Yeah, so anyway. I'm not crazy about how they... from a lore standpoint, how they laid this out, but it's still... Still a solid mission. Yep, so we then really what we need to do, so that barrier comes down, as we just mentioned, and then to your right, which is to the north of the map, there are three energy barriers that you need to go and capture or destroy these conduits. And that's the next challenge, really, for me. I played this a couple different ways. I beat it on normal. I did beat it on heroic. I was able to get gold on heroic. I'm not sure how, because the center structure, I lost many, many, many units. But it was really the challenge of, like, playing it multiple times. Like, okay, to start with, it makes sense to go into the center section and then do the conduit on the left and the conduit on the right, you know, whichever order you want to do those in, and then proceed into the middle. But then after a while, I just thought, like, maybe I could go into the center where the big banished base is and just attack that first and not let them build up an army. I was just trying to think, like, does it make sense to go there first? Because you would imagine they have some population restrictions where they can only, you know, build as many units as, you know, as we can, essentially. But if I ignore the units that are already stationed by those conduits, maybe that will limit the amount of units that I would attack at the base. But that logic didn't pan out for me. I wasn't able to take the banished base that's in the kind of in the center as you go towards the final conduit down the middle. I wasn't able to really do too much on that. I was just kind of beating my head against the wall. I don't know, David, how did you attack this one? Did you do kind of the mini bases on the side, or the mini conduits on the side, and then head up in the middle, or did you attack it differently?
That's pretty much it. I went to the one on the right, and then while I kind of left one unit shooting at it, and then like out of range of the drones, and just left it there, and then I brought all my units sweeping over to the left to take the second one. Then I kind of chopped and changed between them, just dropping down EMPs when I could. And then I was doing that pretty much while turtling, so I got the full 80 pretty quickly. I had so much resources, and because nothing really attacks your base. There's a couple of flyers, but like, it's pretty easy.
Not on normal.
In this mission, I think. Yeah, on normal. And I built a crap ton of Wolverines because I said, why not? So I had like 6 Wolverines rocking around.
Nice.
I forgot that they don't even make any shots at all on ground units. I think there's an upgrade to let them do that. Or I'm thinking of the first game anyway. Their second ability allows them to bombard the ground, didn't they? Yeah, yeah. So did that, some Cyclopses and mostly Marines. Jerome took a Wraith at one stage. Kind of didn't really mean to do it, but he did it anyway. So the ground, you just sit in that and lob shots at one of the points.
Yeah.
And
did you get him in a Banshee ever?
No, I kind of never thought to do that.
I was able to do that today. It's not really worth it. It goes down pretty quick. So,
yeah. And that was pretty easy enough. And then I took the center point and then like immediately kind of backed up because I know there's like a base in the middle. So I went into the base, tacked that in the middle, lost a ton of units kind of doing that. But for some reason I had thought like, oh, I'm going to run up in here. I saw the base as a shield and I was like, all right, grand. I'll drop an EMP on it. But you can't do that. You only get access to the EMP when shooting the points. So it doesn't actually let you use it in like normal circumstances.
That's interesting. Yeah, that you can't even do it then.
You think it'd be handy? Yeah, because in my head I was like, yeah, this will take down a shield, no problem. But that's it's. I think it's mission specific, and that specific goal. Anyway, so lost a ton of units, built them all back up again with all of my ridiculous resources that I had at this point, and then I pretty much just took the last node, and then I just yeeted myself out of there. Did I say that right, Krista? I'm not sure.
Yeet.
You didn't get clicked at? Click clacked?
No clicky clack smack tack. I was just like, no, get out of here. So I did a legger and back to my base. And I'm kind of glad I did that because like a little cutscene plays, obviously, and like sentinels come in when you get the final barrier. Now, I figured there was bases on either side of that little kind of point.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of tested the waters a little bit and it was a shit ton of hunters. And I was like, nah, you know what? I'm not doing this. I don't need to. I'm leaving. So I backed all my units back to my base and just moved my my Wolverines forward. And they just took out all the Sentinels as we went along and took a few losses. But other than that, it was pretty easy, pretty simple mission, to be honest.
Normal is not too bad. The heroic version definitely steps it up quite a bit. On heroic, when I did this, and I did it the way that you did it, where you know you kind of go left or right, whichever order. It sounds like you were better at multitasking than I was. I just kind of sent the full wad of our my units, and then I attacked that base in the middle. And on heroic, they almost wiped out all of my units, and I had to like completely rebuild back up because there's just a bunch of them waiting for you there. There's tons of hunters, banshees, there's some race up there and all that. So that I probably just because I'm not the best at RTS games, I'm sure I should have, you know, like put Jerome in the front and some Wolverines in the front and then have the Wolverines in the back. I kind of did that. I just kind of let the AI figure that out and it didn't go very well. I was eventually, my second wave eventually took it out, but I took a lot of losses. Krista, do you have any, I don't know, tips on taking that middle base to do it decently?
It's definitely just doing that the first thing, right? So they can't build up anything. Because I did the left-right thing, and by the time I got to that base, holy shit, it was built up. It took forever to take down. It was annoying. I was getting angry. I'm like, God damn it. Because at one point, I wasn't even getting near the base, because there were just so many units outside of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was just annoying. Like, why? Why did they do this to me? Because I remember I was playing on normal when I was streaming just a couple weeks ago. And this mission was like, I barely remembered it. It was just a blip. There's such a steep difference between normal and heroic. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, the AI is just way better. And I think we talked about that with the difficulty. You know, that jump from, I think it's, what is it, 30 to 60 actions per minute? That's a huge jump.
Yeah, that's double.
That's double.
Yeah.
So the computer's just way more efficient, and it shows. Did you take the mini bases on either side once you got through there?
No, I was so done by that time. I just went to the front. Also, those sentinels were, like, destroying my base when they first came out. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just recalling all my units. We're just going to go up the side.
Did you use any anti-air? Did you the anti-air turrets at your base?
Yeah, I put them up. So they initially waved my base, and most of the turrets weren't super built up, so of course it didn't do well, and I was able to destroy them when I got my units in, and then I put a bunch of the anti-air turrets in, and it was fine from there. It was just that initial, like, oh no, my base is dying. Maybe I should go back.
Right. Were you, did you upgrade, so you mentioned that you did the upgrade of the barracks and, what else can you upgrade, the garage?
Yeah.
Did you do that later in the mission, or did you get that all done right away?
It was about the after the first wave that I did against the base, And I was like, oh man, I gotta go back and regroup. And that's when I upgraded it. And then I was like, oh my god, this makes such a difference.
Right.
So it made a very tangible difference. So be sure to do that. It's right. worth doing.
Yeah, the extra 10 or 20%, whatever it ends up being.
Oh my gosh.
It's a big difference. Yeah.
Huge, huge. And I had even upgraded, like, halfway through the mission, I put an armory down in place of a garage and upgraded both of those things and then put a garage back on, so...
Mm-hmm.
I had the full 100 units and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps on Heroic, too.
Yeah.
That was something I didn't have to do. Actually, it may not even be on there for the lower level for normal, to be honest. I'm looking at a walkthrough right now. It didn't look like it was there, but...
You don't really need
anyway,
it.
Anyway, no, I don't think so. But I did, I was able to get gold on Heroic somehow.
Damn.
Even though, like, I got everything destroyed. I think it's because I went and got those bases on either side. So, I went to the center. You have those some engineers that are down there protecting that final conduit, and they're not really a big deal to take down. And then it's just, do you want to take the time to go to the left and then also to the right to take out those mini bases? My end score would justify doing that. But, I think the game gives you plenty of time. So it's 30-minute part time. And the time that I did it on Heroic, I think I ended up with like 32 minutes or something like that. So I actually ended up doing okay, even though, I had that big wipeout of my forces in the middle. But the bases on either side, just the mini bases, there's one of those garrison structures, those towers on either end. They're not a really big deal. Once you get past the first little bit of units that are guarding them, then you can just kind of melt through the rest of it. But then you do need to think about, do I split my units? Do I just build a bunch of Wolverines and then sit them by the base so that they can help with the, I think they're called Protector Sentinels.
Yes.
The Protector Sentinels that come in and just kind of wreck shop.
Yeah.
Those guys are super annoying. I used to see what powers did you guys use? I used restoration drones quite a bit, as much as I could.
Oh yeah, a lot of restoration drones.
The archer missiles on normal they do pretty good work, but when you step up to heroic, and I didn't play this on legendary, but I've noticed on if I mess around in legendary, the banish will react to the archer missiles and they'll get out of the way.
Yep.
Which is annoying.
Super so annoying. Oh my god.
They see
the
it coming.
That's the whole point of the thing.
Right. So I don't know if that's how it works in multiplayer, where you can see like the path of the archer missiles so that you can, just to make it fair, right? So you can actually move your guys out of the way, or if somehow the AI is kind of cheating here. But anyway, I tried using some of the mines. It didn't really do a whole lot. A lot of times it'll shoot down the mines when you put them down. I tried to put them at the base right in front of their main base, and a lot of times they just got shot out, so it didn't do a whole lot. What else is there in there? Oh, I did end up upgrading the restoration drones, and that actually helped quite a bit. The healing power improved.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, David. Did you mess around much with the extended leader powers?
I tried to drop mines once, and I was like, why did I do this? They immediately got blown up and didn't do anything. Right. So I was like, ugh, I'm done with this power forever. I used a crap ton of drones, and I used archer missiles once on the main base.
Yeah,
when
just
I
to
first,
pop the
like,
shield.
Assaulted it. Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah. That was pretty much it. I kind of forgot about them after that. Every now and again, I'd remember, I need to do some healing, try to keep my veterancy up.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
I think
that's pretty much it, though.
That's part of the key to attacking that base, and maybe it's just best to wait until, like, what I was trying before is, like, let's go take out that middle base first. But I think you want to attack the two conduits on the left and the right, because then your units will get some veterancy, and they'll just be, they'll be tougher when they finally get up to that base. That logic seemed to work out better than when I was trying the other way. So then we head back. Now, so we finished that. We talked about heading back and getting attacked by the Sentinels, the Protector Sentinels, a couple different ways of those. You can, get the mini bases on either side if you want. Those do give you, bonus points. I think that's why I was able to get gold, because I got that. but then head back now that the three energy shields have been, you know, removed. But then there's this weird section where you like have all your units, like, you know, just a big wad of units that you're sending up this path. But then there's all these swarming sentinels that are stopping your way. So you can't. Did you guys try just sending your units through that swarm?
You get
to see if it would
caught
kill?
In them. You get caught. You don't die in the swarm. You just get caught in them and you can't go any further.
Oh, okay.
So once you destroy the bigger ones, then they disperse.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then you can kind of move forward. It seemed a little, I don't know. I guess what they were doing is trying to show the power of the Sentinels. Like, this is a big, like, hey, foreigners, Sentinels, this is the thing you're going to have to deal with now. They teased at it in one of the previous missions that Sentinels were a thing. And we know they're a thing from playing Halo Wars. But here it feels like it's more of an introduction that this is the third faction they're going to be dealing with in this game. Any other thoughts on either the EMP blast mechanic or anything else before we finish up the mission?
That would have been cool. It's obviously pretty good. I liked bringing in like a new power. Like, even if it's mission specific, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
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 And it's coming down. It's like raining down from the Spirit of Fire. So the Spirit of Fire must be like hovering up above while we're down below.
Well, it's like it's a Mach blast, so like it's obviously some kind of linear or whatever mass accelerated cannon kind of thing. So it probably works the same way a Mach cannon does in terms of lining themselves up in orbit.
Krista, what do you think of the end little gameplay cut?
Oh, when Anders was running into the thing?
So then we finally get to the map room. Isn't really a room. It's just like
a structure thing. Yeah.
And then, you know, she like taps into it and like she starts to explain how all of, you know, Atriox has access to all this stuff. And the most important thing that she pulls out of that is that he has access to the portal network.
I don't know how he figured that out, but whatever.
Right. Engineers.
What'd you say?
Engineers.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He does have engineers. That's true. They do that.
We murdered a crap ton of them in this mission.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there were quite a bit. The room itself isn't really a room, but whatever, you know, that's not a huge deal. It is interesting that it seems like it's just in the middle of nowhere in this floaty area. Versus you would think it'd be, I don't know, maybe more well protected, but I guess it was protected because the way that we got to, like, if we had hornets in this mission, we would have just flown right over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, well, and
so that's why they don't give them to you.
If we remember from Halo 3, didn't we see a cartographer in Halo 3 or a map of some sort?
Yeah.
Yes, we like did a holographic. Yeah, and that was out in the middle of nowhere. It's true. Forerunner was our weird architect.
That's true. What did you guys think of the very end when Jerome, like, hops on a Sentinel?
That was badass, but, like, I don't know. It's not a cutscene, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not a cutscene. What is this? Little Mega Bloks characters doing stuff?
It's like,
it's true.
Yeah, who do you think you are, Jerome? But
anyway, it was cool. Lego Jerome.
Right. It's badass, though. Like, he jumps up on it. He, you know, like, rides it around, shoots another one down, hops off, dusts his hands off. Ready to go. I thought it was a cool little sequence. All right, I think that will do it. The Phoenix logs, there is one behind the first conduit that you disable. That's the one that's the most apparent that you can see. And then there's a second one that spawns when you destroy the Eastern Banished mini base site. So Eastern, the whole map is tilted, so it would have been the one on the left of the final conduit. Wait, no, the right.
Sorry. Oh, this is confusing.
The one on the right is where the two are. Any bits of trivia, David, before we get into those?
You kind of just grabbed the one of the main ones, really. Like, it pretty much says, like, the player can't issue EMP when not hitting the conduit. The EMP Mach only becomes available when the other Sentinels are swarming the conduits. The skulls will only be unlocked when the player destroys both mini bases, and this is the only level in which the Mach MP Blast leader power can be used.
Oh, good to know.
There you go.
There we go. What do these Phoenix logs have to say, Krista?
We got two of them.
Two.
The first one is called The Blinded, and it is from the journal of Orda Val Shaham.
That sounds like a Sangheili.
Yeah, it is. It's a Sangheili guard.
Doesn't it, yeah.
And this is at 3-4-2559, so it's really confusing whether it's in English or American dating or European dating. I think they do it in English dating. But this guy's pretty much talking about, you know, how his ancestors would envy him by walking the halls of the Ark. He's kind of pondering the difference that they would have felt being on the Ark than he is, because he doesn't have any religious value in the Ark anymore now that he's with Atriox, and he's, I don't want to say enlightened, but I guess he's just woken up that this stuff isn't any kind of religious significance to anyone.
Yeah. He's just woke.
Yeah, he's woke now. He kind of curses the prophets and how dumb they were, and then kind of praises Atriox for, you know, getting him through the war and onto this other side, and now he wants to fight people again. It's like, oh man, I can't wait to kill more people. It's gonna be so much fun. It's like, oh, okay.
Do we know much about the Banished, their motivations yet?
They want to fuck shit up.
No, we don't, actually.
I feel like we don't at all yet.
They just don't like people messing with them at this point.
They don't want to be oppressed, which, you know, that's cool. No one wants to be oppressed. And then we come in, the UNSC comes in and starts fucking up their shit. And so they're pissed about that, right?
Yeah, well, and they obviously have some kind of plan with the Ark. They're not just here to hang out and have a good time, you know? We don't know what their goal on the Ark was at all. So we...
Well, current state. And we'll find... There's more to the story, but I'm just curious, like, at this stage of the game,
what do they want? We don't know. They want something with the Ark, and they want us off of it, is basically all their motivation is right now.
Mm-hmm.
During the Covenant War, the Banished wanted to make the Covenant go bye-bye, basically. But now, we're not really sure now that the Covenant's pretty much disbanded.
Right.
So, it's interesting. Maybe we'll get more tidbits from them. So the next one is called the Telegani. It's by Professor Ellen Anders. You may know her. She's a civilian consultant. the date is 3/29/2559, so it is in U.S. dating.
She's 3/29, that's today.
Yes. The mission. Yes. And she's kind of just talking about how interested she's in the Ark and how it's kind of, it's really distracting to her for, because of course there's a current mission going on that she has to do, but all of this intriguing information is being fed to her by Isabel, and it's just completely overwhelming to her, and she wants to learn everything she can, but also needs to not die. So,
right.
So that's about it. She's like, I'm a civilian. We're fighting Atriox. I probably should be doing everything in my power to help us fight Atriox, but this is just so compelling. So that's her.
Which is, it's interesting, right? Because that's what a researcher, a scientist would feel in my mind.
Yeah.
Is they'd be like,
yeah, after so many years of sleep and then like getting access to like 25 years of stuff. Like, it's a lot.
And being on the Forerunner arc, like,
Christmases all come true.
Yeah.
Except Santa is now Krampus, and he's gonna destroy your Christmas.
But she's probably like not sleeping at all because she's so excited to like learn all of this stuff. Meanwhile, the Banished are pissing her off because they're not letting her learn all the stuff. That's a good.
It's like, I just want to learn.
Right, exactly.
I just am here for science.
All right, let's do the community.
Oh, no.
David, what do we have on Facebook?
Don't.
No problemo. Colin Perkins, the admin, July 13th at 7:27 p.m. Professor Anders hacks into your computer. What does she find? Oh, my God, Colin. What kind of question
I know.
Is this?
I'm like looking
mission
for these.
Brave, too heavy.
You didn't read this beforehand? Oh, it was a gold question.
I saw the picture and I was like, okay, it's Christian about Anders stuff, whatever. And I was like, God damn it, Colin.
See, I have to go through and vet people on Discord.
yeah, I was Yeah, well, that's Discord's fault. And your fault, Christopher, for being Discord. I've seen okay, Matthew Blankenship says, oh, Professor Anders, I don't think you want to know. Think Sonic the Hedgehog finding out what exists on about him on the internet. It's nasty. Timothy Wells says, just video games, I swear. Thomas says, in the words of Cortana, you don't want to know. Richard said, a cave that is a natural formation. Nice one.
That's good.
Dave says, porn, lots and lots of porn. What we all know to be true.
That's just the right
Chad
answer.
Chad says, lots of this, which is like a sentinel. I believe, is it a sentinel image, picture? I don't know. Looks kind of like a sentinel. Manny says, the sleeping princess, a.k.a. Melissa. Alan Acorn says, the pointless collection of all emails and documents I've ever received and made, and how very disappointing for her. Some banging tunes too, though. Who doesn't like Mr. Brightside? All right, Alan. Jake says, a picture of the plan that Cat320 drew in the sand. Oh, man, I want that. Jesse says, sheer boredom. That's what. Ah, oh, Jesse. Get some stuff in there. Cody put a picture that is probably something I'm supposed to know, but don't. Big champion picture. I don't know what that is. Okay. It's over my head. Sorry, Cody. Too old. I think I might spell something if I look a certain way. I think there's words in there. I don't know. Chris, to figure it out. Ian says, the Isodidax search history. God damn, Ian. Charles says, final question. Oh, hold on. More underneath that. Give me a look at that. I make it a hobby to make notes on UNSC equipment like firearms, vehicles, armor, etc. And I use my knowledge and understanding with a bit of limited experience to make improvements on the standard equipment. With that said, she would find design iterations that would be far easier to manufacture as well as being far more effective. And he goes into some crazy detail. Nice stuff, George. Okay. Lucas says, my 3 terabyte of Steam games I haven't played yet, my beautiful Warthog background, and some AutoCAD files from work. That's also, I think, pretty accurate to what most people would find. And that's everybody. That's the Facebooks. Thanks, guys.
Very nice. Thanks, Facebook. How did we do, Discord?
I deleted some stuff, but other than that, we're doing good. All right. Axel says, she finds my collection of Halo pictures. I probably have over 200 Halo backgrounds that I've accumulated over the last 10 years. Now, if it was nice. My phone, she would find all of the nudes I send to my wife. .. Oh, that wasn't the question. My bad.
I guess I could have worded it like if she hacked into your phone.
All right, you guys have to explain this to me. Who downloads Prawn and keeps it on their computer? Like, you can just go to the website and then it's not on your computer forever.
Right. There's like maybe a...
True.
Maybe why? There's like a history or something like that, but yeah, it streams.
You just do private browsing. No one can catch you. Why would you download it so people can catch you?
They haven't caught me yet.
Maybe you need some offline stuff, Krista. You know what I mean? You gotta be off the line, off the grid, so they can't get you.
But you were online to get the offline stuff.
Off the grid, Krista.
Just have a Playboy under your mattress at that point.
They don't make them anymore.
No, they're not naked anymore. That's the problem. Anyway, back to this. Claptrap says she wouldn't see it as I don't have a computer, but if she checked my phone, she would see 2,700 memes and other stuff. .. Hector says she finds my special files for alone time. Let's not go any further, eh? Seriously, logging off.
It's just a file named alone time.
Alone time.
Or a folder named alone time. Yeah, I like that.
Prophet of Rhyme says she finds either all of my KSP stuff or the rest of my family stuff, or she finds memes. Lots of memes. Ones that probably...
Big meme crew.
I know, lots of memes. Ones that probably incriminate a Theovadom 224 on Discord and Xbox. not sure who that is. Prophet of Gay says normal stuff for normal girls. Perfect. DeZuto says the name and locations of all of the Krista army. Don't be mean to them, DeZuto. Becky says a copy of Psy and a copy of Pokemon Showdown and a lot of books. S-I-A. S-A-I. Not sure what that is. Matt says, just schoolwork and my wife's nudes. Shh. Now, why would you keep your wife's nudes on your computer? You live with her. She can be nude whenever you want her to be nude. And then you just, then it's interactive. These people are doing it all wrong. You never put,
what if you're
off the grid? Anders is going to break into your computer. Get all that shit off of your computer. Find alternative places to store your stuff.
Like a really old computer.
Jedi Spartan says, lots of images from my favorite Star Wars and Marvel characters. That's not Halo related. And a load of PixArt images that I made while bored. Very good. Lord Beerman says cake recipes and a map of the closest nuclear bunkers. Very good. Barlette King, she would find an operating system as ancient to her as the musket is to us. She wouldn't even be able to find matching outlets to plug it into.
Okay.
Snark says she would find my notepad file that says Krista is best host 4,842,842 times.
That's not a number.
42,842 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
No.
That's fake.
Okay, fake news. She would also find my notepad full... file of a scheme to kill the Zudo while he sleeps. Don't kill the Zudo. He sends us nice stuff.
He leaves us cool voicemails.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to get to that or not. Ooh, but yeah. We'll see. Prophet of Rhyme says Snark's comment is genius about saying my name so many, or I'm the best host, many, many times. And that's about it. Now it's just Colin asking what the next MD question is.
Oh, well, we got some people helping out, which is great.
Oh, you have helpers now.
Yeah, I got helpers.
What?
Oh, nice.
Why is Krista the best host? Easy.
No, that's not. No, that's ineligible.
All right, well, I'm going to get people to spam your inbox with that until you do it. I have an army now.
That's right. Well, we'll see. Maybe if I can get some helpers, I'll have a helper army.
Ooh.
All right, that'll do it for a debriefing of the cartographer mission from Halo Wars 2. On the next episode, we'll be covering Lights Out. Lights Out, Decimus. Send us your thoughts. podcastevolve@gmail.com or drop us a tweet. podcastevolved on Twitter. You can also support the show by visiting podcastevolved on Patreon. And don't forget that free audiobook trial. Visit audibletrial.com/podcastevolved. Until next time, evolved.
Evolved.
Evolved.